Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. The goal is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. This is the broadcast for June 15th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two. Barbie and Ken versus Goliath. The Goliath IRS. If it can happen to Barb and Ken, it can happen to you, ladies and gentlemen. MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com, the website. And interview continued with Ken Cromar, my guest. Now, I made a statement on the radio, and that statement was, hey, even Barack Obama joked about using the IRS against people. Well, for Ken and family, pardon the French, this ain't no joke, people. They literally stole their house, and now their lives are in jeopardy, either from one going to jail for a long time and or threats from enemies. Of course, anonymous enemies. We got a gag order, don't you know? So there you go. Okay, this kind of stuff. Now, let me just let you hear what Barack had to say, because this is shocking. When you hear Barack joke about it, everybody goes, ha ha ha. But when it's your personal friends, people who you've known for several decades, their children go to school with your children, you know them personally, they're your neighbors. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to stick with what you know, not with what your government tells you. The government's telling you that, hey, Ken and Barb are bad guys, terrorists. You got to jettison your neighbor. They've gone cuckoo. The truth is, Ken's been stable and steady and a nice, kind neighbor for decades, and his neighbors that are honest with themselves know it. All right, anyway, I digress. Here's Barack's joke.
Now, before I begin, I'd just like to clear the air about that little controversy everybody was talking about a few weeks back. I have to tell you, I really thought this was much ado about nothing. But I do think we all learned an important lesson. I learned never again to pick another team over the Sun Devils in my NCAA brackets.
Yeah, that's funny.
Here's what it won't happen again. President Crow and the Board of Regents will soon learn about being audited by the IRS.
Do you hear me, ladies and gentlemen? The mainstream press spun that off as a joke. Well, to Ken and Barb, this is very real. Ken?
I can't tell you how scary that little jokey thing was, because we are feeling the full force and power of the most dangerous, deceitful collection agency in probably the history of the world. The laws and the truth do not matter. And we've been victimized by that very thing. All we ever wanted to do was to get into a court and be able to tell our side of the story. And now it's going to happen 15 cases later, but for the wrong reason, which is you burglarized a home. Well, that was our house. How can you burglarize your own home? And they want to put us in jail for 15 years. Now, Sam, I've got to tell you, the odds do not look good at all, obviously. But we have felt from the very beginning, it's the only thing that's kept us going, is that we're on an assignment from a loving God who has given us these freedoms, and we feel like our fight and assignment is to fight vigorously in behalf of we the people and the rights. It's not about Barbie and Ken. It's about law and order. It's about the Constitution. And if one person is being harmed, and in this case it's us, big time, then all are being harmed. And if the people are aware of what's happening, maybe it has to be this dramatic, that then maybe the people will wake up, or at least parts of the people will wake up and stand for their rights, and this thing can be turned. I believe, Sam, that miracles are going to happen. That's the reason we call it our website, Miracles in God We Trust, made a documentary film about it. Even redigitize a more perfect union about the Constitutional Convention. That's at Miracles in God We Trust, too, miraclesingodwetrust.com. And we believe that a loving God will stand by people who are standing for him and his glorious, beautiful rights. Now, there's been a lot of people that have been crushed, but we are on a mission to just simply stand for right and truth at all costs. It may cost us our lives. It may cost us our lives. But our Lord and Savior did much more than that. And we're going to stand. And we just pray that a jury of our peers will actually, just one, that's all it'll take, is just one, to not convict us and allow us to continue this fight for his freedoms that he's given us and sacrificed his life for. Sorry, Sam, a little emotional there, but...
Understood. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you some questions here about this.
Yeah.
I want to highlight something and help you understand. So Barack Obama made that IRS joke, but it's not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. We have proof that it's not a joke. Okay, so when Ken tries to introduce this evidence into court, will they let him, first of all? If they don't, it just proves how criminal they are. Because Barack joked about that, and everybody laughed and went, but I'll prove to you it's not a joke. Are you ready? You remember hearing that conservative groups were literally targeted by the IRS and their 501c3 and otherwise statuses were being denied. And it turns out that it was only conservatives and they got their hand caught in the cookie jar. That's mainstream press news, folks. Go look it up. But we even have better pay dirt than that. Are you ready? Catherine Engelbrecht, who is the president of a group called True the Vote. Catherine announced a historic legal victory in her decade-long battle against the IRS for targeting her group, TrueTheVote.com, and it was part of the Barack Obama administration's weaponization program, weaponizing the IRS against all political opposition. All right? So TrueTheVote, ladies and gentlemen, just so you understand, one historic $2 million settlement against the IRS. So now when Barack says this is a joke and everybody laughs and it isn't a joke, and the proof is in the settlement that Catherine had to fight over a decade to get. But again, when good people stand up, wonderful things happen, Ken.
I believe that. This is the end here. We're coming down to the final showdown. It's been prophesied. All the prophets look down to this time and kind of with jealousy is the way I read it, that, wow, that would be the greatest time to live in. Really? A lot of people are going to die. There's going to be battles and wars and this, that, and the other, and you'd want to be around then? Yeah, it's because it's the biggest battle in the history of the world, and we know who wins, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wins. So we really believe, and we've always been operating from the point of view, is this is the Lord's battle. It's not ours. But what we have to do is show up, and we are. And we're pretty weak. We're not smart enough. We don't have enough money. We're representing, or that's not the right term, we're presenting ourselves, meaning we don't have bar attorneys. And so that's pretty high risk, but this is his battle, not ours. And he's winning. Boy, I'll tell you, the things that we have been witnessing over the last few days, I kind of feel sorry for the other side, because if they side with truth, they'll be okay. But if they don't, they'll get their reward too through his hand, and not ours, but his hand. And so anyway, it's high stake.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's why the website is miraclesingodwetrust.com. And if you go there, you'll see a More Perfect Union movie, which if you buy copies of that or whatever, you help fund Ken. If you want to donate, Ken could use every penny he can get, because what they're trying to do is literally turn one case into 15 cases to flat out just bury Ken financially. And then, hey, hopefully they'll run him out of money and he'll be forced to capitulate and or give up. not happening thus far, but there's a video on that website, miraclesingodwetrust.com. And the video is Barbie and Ken get hit by 75-man SWAT team for protecting their rights. It happened September 24th, 2020. Now, Barack makes the joke. Catherine gets attacked. Catherine fights and wins $2 million. Ken literally in the same boat. Different details to every case, but the same reality. So the judge then gags the discussion, at least for Ken, but yet somehow information keeps getting leaked to the mainstream press that literally attacks Ken. How does that happen, and why is there not prosecution for that happening? The judge need to come down hard and say, who's leaking the information? You're going to prison. Either there's a gag or there's not. And if Ken has to obey it, does the other side have to obey it? I think that's a fair, open, honest question. All right. Now, this has been over a 4.5-year reality check, a nightmare for poor Ken and Barb. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to talk about due process of law. We need to talk about a right to a hearing in a speedy trial. We need to talk about innocent until proven guilty. So, you know, why is this happening to Barbie and Ken? We're convinced this appears to be a showdown on key issues. Can you say political payback? When we get back, ladies and gentlemen, I want to know what's next. And then I want to know how we help with what's next. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Calling all patriots, come meet a modern-day hero, Tom Jones, on day 68 of his 76 marathons in 76 days on behalf of the American Village West. We'll be at Liberty Hall on Friday evening, June 24th from 5 to 7 p.m. There will be free food and drinks, so bring your family and friends to celebrate Tom's amazing achievement. Who is Tom Jones? Loving Liberty's Sam Bushman interviewed him on day one in Alabama just moments before he began his first marathon. Get to know Tom at unitedwepledge.org/V2V.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Ken Cromart with us. We're talking about Ken and Barb's epic battle with Goliath, the IRS. Barack Obama jokes about the IRS, but it's very real for Catherine Engelbrecht, who won $2 million because the IRS was abusing her. Took her a decade plus to get it done, though. Ken's in for the epic battle of his life, as you know, ladies and gentlemen. So what's next? Answer, June 27th, 2022. They say 1 week of trial by jury. Well, I don't know why it would be limited to a week before we get started. How do we know there's not a lot of witnesses that need to be called, etc.? So how does Ken and others gear up for a trial like this? First off, you got to be able to get your evidence on the docket or in the court. Secondly, you got to be able to get your witnesses. You got to be able to pick your jurors. You got a lot to do, Ken.
Oh, yeah, big time. And when they're blocking you at every step saying, oh, you can't do what you're trying to do without a bar attorney, that totally changes the game too. So that what was already difficult becomes 5 to 10 times as difficult. So they know exactly what they're doing. And that's not seeking for justice. You'd think if you're a genuine court attorney, whatever it is, that justice would be the paramount goal. But that is meaning that, oh my gosh, these people could be innocent. They're fighting against the evidence that proves that. For example, as mentioned before, we sued the commissioner of the IRS and won in two separate court cases, my wife and I. And they admit that they have no lawful claim over the Cromars from 1990 to 2020. That's 31 straight years and more than covers their claim that's in the middle of their someplace. And yet they won't let that evidence, they won't acknowledge that the evidence exists because they've blocked us from being able to file that information on the court because we're not bar attorneys. Really? The exculpatory evidence from the IRS commissioner himself is not adequate to be evidence in a court case that's born out of that very issue? That doesn't sound like justice to me. But once again,
you're a chicken and you're supposed to be represented by the fox, my friend.
No kidding.
Really what's going on. And so, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business. Now, when we talk about witnesses, you know, Ken's got a lot of witnesses because remember, they've taken this all the way from the local municipality all the way to the federal level, ladies and gentlemen. And now the IRS is involved. So, you know what? Ken has a parade of witnesses. The question is, how many of them will they even let have presence at the court?
Right.
It's a big question, right?
Yeah.
Who do you have on the docket, though? Let's talk about it a little bit.
Well, number one, Charles Rettig, commissioner of the IRS. He's already admitted. And if we could get him to show up, we actually...
You know what they're going to say to you? They're going to say, sorry, Charlie.
Well, we asked, and that's on the record, right? Number two,
of course.
John Sullivan, the famous, quote-unquote, Trump supporter, CNN reporter, instigator, black fellow, who looks like Will Smith, by the way, sort of. And he was at our house, strange.
He's on vacation with Ray Epps, buddy. You can't find those guys. Sorry.
We'd love to have him show up to tell us who he really was when he said he came to our house to help us 21 days before we were then swatted by 75-man SWAT team. Go figure that one. Then we have Ammon Bundy, Ryan Bundy, and Shauna Cox. They, upon arrest of us, said and tried to take our bond away and put us in prison. We'd already been bailed out, right? They wanted to take that away and make sure that we stayed in prison until the trial, which was now going to be 21 months later. Okay. Imagine that. Having to sit
there.
Yeah,
they did
that
to the Bundys. They served for 2 years and guilty of nothing.
Well, I got to tell you, I think that's was a little miracle in and of itself. We fell to our knees and wept when that was over because we realized how close we were to have been put in jail without and would never be able to defend ourselves. And their claim was, these are radical people who've associated themselves with the likes of the Bundys, the infamous Bundys, the dangerous Bundys. And I had to say, actually, I need to not say because of the gag order. But I will say this, that we consider it a high honor to have had our name mentioned in the same sentence with the Bundy family.
And my response, when they bring up the infamous Bundys, my response is, are you talking about the people that served 2 years and were innocent and they couldn't prove guilt, so they remain innocent and are guilty of nothing? Are we talking about the same Bundys that the judge literally had to dismiss the case because of government corruption at the highest levels? Are we talking about the same Bundys that went free and the attorney said, okay, you got to let my clients go, and the government said no? And the attorney said, listen, by law, you have to. And they just flat out tased the attorney in court. Is that the cases we're talking about? Because you know what? You put that in front of a jury and highlight that and say, look, Brock was not joking when he talked about sicking the IRS on people. Just ask Catherine Engelbrecht and the $2 million she won. And the Bundys, you know what? They're guilty of nothing. But the government was guilty of literally withholding exculpatory evidence and everything else. Are we talking about those guys? Are we talking about the poor attorney that was tased in court for no real reason, but that yet they were ticked off because he did a good job letting the jury know what's happening? The question is, will Ken be allowed to do a good job of letting the jury know what's happening? So now we've got to kind of talk about juries a little bit. I believe in a fully informed jury, which means not only are you to judge the individual before you, but you're to judge the case and the underpinning law related to it. So whether you agree that, for example, this is just my example, whether you agree Ken violated IRS laws or not might be a question. But is it appropriate for the crime of not filing your taxes, which Ken would claim he doesn't owe? Is it appropriate to take your primary residence away? Folks, there's very few government entities that even are above the law so much that they can even do that,
right?
To make the point. And so you might say, as a fully informed juror, you might say this, you know what? I don't agree with Ken at all. But I know that it's not appropriate to take away his home where he can't, you know, have shelter for his family. That's too extreme. You don't give somebody the death penalty for stealing a candy bar, for instance.
Right.
Okay, so you might judge the law in that case and say, hold on, it's just adding insult to injury here, government. We can debate this till the. And the reason I use that example is because, look, a juror does not have to completely agree with you. What they have to do is understand their role as a fully informed jury member. Do they do exactly what the judge orders them to do? Or as a fully informed jury, do they have the latitude to dig in and to make their own decisions based on what they understand as the final check and balance in the greatest country on the face of the earth? See, these things need to be discussed and vetted for each juror, Ken.
Yeah. Yeah. And what they plan to do is on the 27th is to do it via Zoom. So rather than bring the potential jurors into a court of law where they have to feel the force of the room, they're going to do it via TV, and who knows what's going on behind the scenes in the TV room or who's coaching them or whatever, right? And we object
well
to that.
And hold on, you'll never be able to understand or feel the spirit of Ken or understand the claims being made or the concern you'll never be able to understand that without being in person. It's virtually not possible, and they know it.
The trial reportedly will be live. It'll be the first time ever that we've been into a courtroom. Think about that. 15 cases later, this is the first time we'll have ever been in a courtroom. There have been a few Zoom things here and there, but this will be the first time. But the jury pool that's going to have to sit in that room won't be filtered by being in that room to answer questions. That's kind of weird. But, you know, I'd ask you and your audience, what questions would you ask of a potential juror that would show that they're your peer? So, for example, I'm 63 years old, and would I want 20-year-olds sitting on the jury? No
yeah.
way.
How about a 20-year-old? Hold on. How about a 20-year-old transgender millennial?
Right.
Is that a peer for Ken Cromar, who is a family man, who
seven
has children? And a wife and all things traditional, okay? Or is that somebody who will look at Ken and go, the guy's a whack job, and never even give the evidence, let me say that again, never really even give the evidence a fair hearing, a chance?
Right.
That's what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. What is a jury of Ken's peers? It would need to be somebody genuinely near his age. It would need to be somebody who genuinely has his understanding politically. They may not have to agree with Ken on every issue, but they need to be a conservative person that has reverence for the Constitution, reverence for checks and balances, reverence for the rule of law, reverence for, hey, the IRS can't be judge, jury, and executioner here, reverence for how did this start out as a teeny local case and go, quote, virtually national. How did all that happen? Well, you need savvy people to kind of understand that's a very strange trajectory, is it not? Does that put doubt and questions in your mind? In my humble opinion, it ought to. Ken Cromar interview continues in seconds.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Republican Myra Flores flipped a Democrat House district in South Texas on Tuesday from blue to red, a special election in a district that has 84% Latino voters. Flores, a respiratory care practitioner, had 51% of the vote to Democrat Dan Sanchez's 43%. There will be no runoff. The U.S. House of Representatives gave the green light to legislation that would allow round-the-clock security protection for families of Supreme Court justices. 1 week after a man was arrested for the attempted assassination of a court justice, the House passed a security measure Tuesday, 396-27. All of the votes in opposition came from Democrats. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy from California.
By passing this bill as is, we are sending a clear message to the left-wing radicals. You cannot intimidate the Supreme Court justices.
USA Radio News.
Paid for by GovMint.com.
Have you heard? The United States Mint has issued the Morgan Silver Dollar for the first time in 100 years. Not only that, but they are also minted in 99.9% pure silver for the first time ever in history. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone that knows the enduring popularity of Morgans. But you must hurry. Only 175,000 legal tender silver dollars were issued. These Morgan Silver Dollars are brand new, bright and shiny legal tender coins minted by the iconic Philadelphia Mint. Just call 1-800-888-7630 and you are guaranteed a new 99.9% pure silver Morgan dollar. The first time in history this has happened. But with limited quantities, you must call now to order. To learn more, call 1-800-888-7630. If you order now, you will receive a free collector bonus, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-888-7630 now to secure your new Morgan silver dollars before they are gone. That's 1-800-888-7630.
President Biden is having problems finding support.
An inquiry of all 50 Democratic senators by the Daily Caller found only five immediately committed to endorsing President Joe Biden if he runs for re-election in 2024. The five who gave the outlet a definitive yes were Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York, Tim Kaine of Virginia, Cory Booker of New Jersey, Jack Reed of Rhode Island, and Chris Coons of Delaware. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
Government tax credits are not working for EV manufacturers.
Major automakers are asking Congress to lift the cap on how many people can receive tax credits for buying a hybrid or fully electric vehicle. Currently, the number of tax credits allowed is capped at 200,000 per company. Automakers want the cap lifted until the EV market is more mature. General Motors and Tesla have already reached the cap, and Toyota is close to it. From the Texas USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Victor Paul.
USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Ken Cromar, my guest. Barb and Ken versus Goliath IRS. If it could happen to Barbie and Ken, it could happen to you. Miracles in GodWeTrust.com, ladies and gentlemen. And you can get the incredible movie available at his website. There's a movie and a video that I want you to be aware of, okay? The movie is called A More Perfect Union, an incredible, incredible reenactment, if you will, of our founding era. It is so good. Remastered, put together by Ken Cromar, who's a filmmaker by trade, by the way. If you buy that, you're actually helping Ken. You're helping Ken with his legal battle. Look, what the government's done is they took away his home. And then they said, fine, now fight us now that you don't have a place to live. See the criminal nature of this, ladies and gentlemen? Wait a minute. Where's the jury appears? Well, you don't get what. Well, it's coming up. Yeah. What questions would you ask, ladies and gentlemen, to filter out people in a jury pool to find your peers? While you think about that, so you can get this video or this movie, I should say, A More Perfect Union, at Ken's website, miraclesingodwetrust.com. It's also available on Amazon, though, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of ways that you can watch this, but you want to watch it for your own education. It's a movie that I watch routinely because it's so good, and it reminds me of how sacred our founding era was and how important it is to remember their sacrifice and carry forth our heritage, our American heritage, our godly heritage, and our legacy. Anyway, so to get the film, miraclesingodwetrust.com, or on Amazon. The video that I mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, is where the SWAT team literally descended upon his home, even though he never had a jury by trial, or trial by jury. He never had any of those things, ladies and gentlemen. That is the problem here. But they battle now. What's next? June 27th, 2022, 1 week of trial by jury. So Ken has to now pick jurors. And what questions would you ask? We talked about his age. He's 63. You got to have somebody that's generally that age. You got to have somebody that has general political alignment with him. And not only political, but religious alignment. Let me give you an example. If I am a godless person and I don't believe in God, and I hear Ken going, yeah, my website's Miracles in God We Trust. And, you know, he says, I believe I'm on God's errand with this battle. I believe I'm on the right side of, you know, I'm with God on this, at the truth. I've been, and I don't even believe in God at all. I just think, you know what, this guy's a God religious crutch kook. And I won't even give the evidence a chance now. So you've got to find somebody who has alignment with you, generally your age, somebody that's a family. You got to start talking about God, family, and country again, people. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. No other talk show like it. I hit on the very core of it all. If somebody doesn't believe in God, family, and country the way you do, Ken, they can't really be your peer, can they?
That's right. That in the original concept of a jury of your peers, trial by jury of your peers, it really meant people that actually know you. That have an understanding of who you are and where you fit in your community and whatnot. And now what they do is they just simply go to voter rolls, and who knows how they shuffle that deck, but, you know, that's how they do it. And so what they do, of course, now is jury trial, which is not trial by jury. We had arguments about that on the record. And a trial by jury of peers allows the jury to judge not only the person, but the law itself and how it's been applied. Now, if we have a jury of our peers, then we can win. But if the judge is going to sit there and instruct the jury, a jury trial, that here's the law and here's what you're going to do, and when you go back there, you got to make a decision that fits what I just told you. Why in the heck is a jury there anyway then? If they're just going to do what they're told.
It makes the people feel good, Ken, that they feel like there's the, you know, the illusion, the grand illusion, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's the challenge right there is how do you get a jury of your peers? And unfortunately, the judge seemed to think, oh, you're just switching words around. They're the same thing. No, they're not. And we actually submitted documentation with regards to the common law, which in law itself is seen to be constitutional. The Constitution is common law. Common law is the Constitution. And so what did you swear an oath to, officers of the court? You swore to the Constitution to protect and defend it against enemies foreign and domestic. What does it mean if you're not upholding the Constitution and allowing an individual to defend themselves before a jury of their peers? I think that might qualify for being a domestic enemy, and that's treason. And we filed a document on the court yesterday, which they'll reject because it wasn't filed by a bar attorney, because they blocked us now for 13 months. But at least we got it on the record that says this is a criminal referral to the Utah Attorney General, Sean Reyes, for treason in the court. We haven't even got to trial yet, but we already know there's been treason committed. Question is, will the Attorney General actually step forward and put a stay on this case until the individuals involved who are in conflicts of interest? That's a whole other story. We have a right to ask for recusals. The judge refused to recuse herself. The prosecutor refused to recuse himself. And so everything about this is headed towards disaster in a trial. And they know it. They've been warned of it. And it's going to be really interesting. And it's kind of funny to know that you're on a divine assignment and not have any idea how this thing's going to play, but know that your Lord and Savior, who's put you on this assignment, this is his fight. I feel kind of sorry for them because something's going to happen. And I don't think it's going to be too good for them.
Without a jury pool, a group of jurors that understand Ken's views on that, it's going to be trouble. They're not his peers, because whether you agree with Ken or not, is Ken genuine in his belief and in his efforts to defend what he believes in, true to the core, or is it an act? If it's true to the core of what he really believes, then you've got to take this into account. And you got to look at the government and their actions, and you got to say, hey, does this rise to the level of fraud what they're doing to him. Literally send a 75-member SWAT team, kick him out of his house, take his house away. But yet we haven't got a proper conviction. There hasn't been due process. There hasn't been the submitting of evidence. And let's talk a little bit about every time you've tried to, one, get evidence onto the docket so that it can be discussed and focused on, they reject you. They do everything they can to stop it. And number two, then, when you request information, you have the right to subpoena people and information in your case. They don't even deliver. These two issues tell me it's a fraudulent trial in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't get the information that you need, evidence, for example, the SWAT team, who put that SWAT team together? What's all the behind-the-scene details? Who authorized it? Who gave authority? On what documents that were, okay, we go on and on. But what I'm saying, Ken, is that back trail matters, Ken.
It does. Let me tell you one thing that's really important. If you go to the miraclesandgodwetrust.com website and look up Barbie and Ken versus Goliath IRS, there's a newly posted video that shows the SWAT. We finally got footage from different sources, including friends and neighbors who were actually standing on the outside of the perimeter where there were just bunches of police cars, flashing lights. It was a circus. We put that all together into a video that shows what happened in the SWAT. And then Barbara kept asking. It's really harrowing to watch one 57-year-old grandma of seven grandkids at the time to be facing down that kind of army and simply ask, do you have a warrant? Do you have a warrant? We have a judge's order, court order. You have to have a warrant. And the warrants, there were two warrants, and they were fabricated after the raid. They're stamped. They have time stamps. It was within
hours. Ladies and gentlemen, let me stop you there, though. If they're after the raid, after the breach of a home, ladies and gentlemen, this is criminal activity at the highest order.
Yes.
See, but how do you prosecute these people?
Well,
Ammon Bundy, in the middle of his of his cases, asked the quintessential question, and I want to bring it up now because I think it relates. Ammon said this publicly in front of the media: what are we to do? These people are criminals. We can't get a redress of grievance. We can't get a fair trial. We can't get a jury of our peers. We can't get due process of law. He said that literally at the start of his 2-year, or before his 2-year jail. What are we to do? 2 years later, we're still asking the same question when the government said he's innocent. And the government said the government created crimes. What are we to do is my question, Ken.
Well, you know what? You've hit the main question. And our solution, you know, people say, what can you do? What can you do? To us, the answer is simply this. You swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. You put your solemn oath on the line. Now, if you break that oath and it rises to the level of treason, you've got a serious problem. What you do is you hold them accountable to their oath. And in our case, we've invoiced the people over $200 million in invoicing.
We'll get into the details of that in seconds with Ken Cromar, ladies and gentlemen. Hang tight. Big money at stake, huh? Liberty Roundtable live.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present day church. Rather, it is for the end time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
You are a racist. Your mom is a racist. Your dad is a racist. And your entire family is racist. And you should all be punished. That's what Governor Brad Little thinks about you. So much so that he took $30 million of taxpayers' money to force critical race theory down the throats of school children, even though the Idaho legislature voted against it. This is the doctrine that teaches your children that just because they are white, they are racist. Yes, your governor, good old Brad Little, violated the constitutional law and did this while you weren't watching. Why is Governor Brad Little paying to promote radical leftist doctrine loved by Democrats like Boise Mayor McLean and sleepy Joe Biden? This is Ammon Bundy, and we need to completely reject critical race theory in Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Talking to Ken Cromer, ladies and gentlemen, miraclesingodwetrust.com, the website. Click on Ken and Barb Fight Goliath IRS to learn more, to watch the video of the 75-member raid on his home. They stole his home and then said, now fight us. He's been doing so for over 4.5 years, ladies and gentlemen. Even though they made him homeless, they continue to ratchet it up and cost money. Now they're saying he's got to have a bar-approved attorney. They don't like what he files onto the court, etc. But ladies and gentlemen, there's no law that says you've got to turn your representation over to a third party which you don't trust or believe in. That's fundamental reality, ladies and gentlemen. You have the right of self-defense. And some could say that relates to your gun rights. It may be true, but it also relates to your right to represent yourself. And they're trying to destroy that right. They're trying to say Ken can't file evidence on the court. He can't file information. He can't call his own witnesses. He can't represent himself. He can't get information that he's requested and subpoenaed and every level in between. Okay, and now they're going to go to trial on the 27th, and Ken's quest is to get a fair jury pool. Is that possible in America today? And with the judges and the orders they give and the guidelines they give and the manipulated way they do juries, for example, if a juror is a Christian, if a juror believes in the traditional family, if the juror believes in male, female, gender, binary gender reality, if it's a heterosexual, these people aren't fit to serve the courts. They're racist, bigots, haters, abusers, terrorists, on down. And so Ken's going to have a very tough time, one, getting information to the court for evidence, two, getting a pool of jurors that makes sense and being able to vet them, three, being able to subpoena the things that he needs for his defense. Who's behind this whole raid? How did that all go down? Okay, how did this all start? How did the IRS decide to come after Ken in the first place? Once the IRS issues were dismissed, who kept all these other cases up? Who kept the juggling the balls to make sure that, hey, we run Ken completely out of money and completely out of everything? Well, what they don't know is Ken's on a God-given mission. And that's the difference. And we need jurors to understand these things. Anyway, I digress, except for Ken, what are we to do?
You know, you just reminded me of my favorite scripture, and it's funny, you'd think I'd be able to say it exactly right every time, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understandings. Acknowledge his hand in all things, and he shall direct thy path. I believe that with all my heart. We don't understand what's going on. We've told the court that, by the way, that's a legal position or a lawful position. We don't understand these proceedings. We don't consent to these proceedings. We're a man and a woman on the land. We're not corporations. Like, you had no right to bring us in here because we're not corporations, even though you've changed the lettering of our name to put it in all caps to justify legally that we're here, but we're not. So we don't consent to these proceedings, and we don't understand them. They actually can't do anything within their own rules.
Now, let me be very clear. When Ken says he doesn't understand them, then they try to say, okay, you're mentally incapable of understanding the complications. That's why you need to be forced to have an attorney to represent you to help you understand this and not be such an abuse on the courts and everything. Ken's not saying he can't cognitively understand.
Right.
What he's saying is he doesn't legally understand how they can just simply circumvent and pervert the law to the point of forcing you into venues that you don't belong, into your, right. into jurisdictions that don't relate, into... He understands the case, ladies and gentlemen. He's cognitively completely capable of understanding. What he's saying, though, is he doesn't recognize and understand their perverted application of what you would call corporate law, right?
Right. So actually, we've often said, we say it as often as we can, we do not understand these proceedings, we do not consent to these proceedings. But often when we say we don't understand, we also add stand under. We do not stand under these proceedings. That's what it means. It's a legalese game. They're playing with words at all times. And once again, I just have to point out, when you have a bar attorney, they actually steal, without your knowledge, your power of attorney and start signing documents and bond agreements behind the scenes. And if you ever get convicted, guess who signs your conviction? The judge, the prosecutor, and your own attorney. Why? Because he stole your power of attorney, because it's you that has to sign it. But what, we'd never sign such a thing. That's why they're demanding us to have a bar attorney. And we rejected it officially on documents, in the record, affidavits, at every point, and saying, if you've actually even exercised a power of attorney on us, then you must disclose, because they're rejected and rescinded. They never happened because we've never given our power of attorney. Interesting, huh?
That's the question, ladies and gentlemen. Do they have the right to take your rights away from you against your will? And if they do, my next question would be this. What kind of a country do we have now? Think about that question very, very seriously. It's a poignant question, to say the least. If they can say, Ken, you can't represent yourself, we're going to force representation on you. Ken, you can't do this, you can't say this, you can't feel this way, you can't, you must. If it's that kind of a forced deal, then what kind of a country do we live in? I believe our founders would be turning over in their graves, Ken.
They would. You know, it's really interesting. When we've gone through these kangaroo hearings on Zoom, WebEx, actually, we've had to wait our turn for what they call in custodies, people that are at the jail. And it's really interesting to see these poor people who, well, you know, there's no question a bunch of them belong there. But here's what's really bizarre is we've heard the judge ask that these people, okay, you're now pleading guilty. And then she goes through a litany of questions. And the one that just gives me chills every time I hear it, because we've heard it many times, is, do you understand that you're giving up your constitutional rights? Did you hear what I just said? You've pled guilty, and now they're asking, do you understand that you've given up your constitutional rights? Guess what? That's fraud. That's deceit. That's wrong. And here's why. When we talk about unalienable rights, people always say inalienable. That's not what it says in the Constitution. It says unalienable, and there's a difference. Unalienable means you can't lien it, is what it means. So your rights are not lienable. What that means is you cannot sell them. You cannot give them up. They can't be stolen from you. They can't be compromised. You can't make money off of them. They're unalienable, God-given rights. So when that judge says, do you understand that you're giving up your constitutional rights? She just proclaimed herself God, because God gave us the rights. And she's now proclaiming herself queen or God to then take them away. It's impossible. They're unalienable.
Yeah, it could be said she's playing God, and I understand the point, because God's the author of our rights. But what she's really doing is playing Satan, because she's taking force to deny you of your rights, if you want to get technical.
Better said, Sam. I really like that. That's well said.
Hey, you don't use force and put yourself above God, okay? That's Satan's plan, people. You
right,
got it?
Right.
All right. We need to understand that. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be praying for Ken and Barb in this epic battle. But you mentioned that you filed a lot of lawsuits relating to, they're going to owe you big money on a lot of this. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I think it's relevant.
Yeah, it's kind of complicated, but I'll try and make it really simple. If you break your oath of office, which so many of them do, we've called them out on it, because we have what we call a checkmate document officially called public notice, declarations, mandates, and lawful protest. We fought, that was the first document we filed on this case. And the court was notified that we're questioning your jurisdiction. You're saying that we're a corporation, and we're not. We're people. We're a man and a woman on the land. And that's a really serious, important thing. And if you proceed, here's the penalties and fines for denying very specific rights and breaking your oath of office. So if you break your oath of office, they always like to say, we have judicial immunity. No, you don't. And your own oath says that. It says if you that you're protecting the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic, which presupposes that there are domestic enemies. They could even be in the court. And so your own oath tells you that judicial immunity is a farce. It's a theory. It's not true, because if you break your oath, now you don't have the protection of being a protector of the Constitution. That opens you up on a personal level. So, like, they all have to have bonds, Sam. And a bond, we've learned something very important, and that is if you go after their bonds and say they violated their oath, they don't have to pay out on the bond, because there's a provision in the bonds, as we understand it, that says if they break their oath of office to the Constitution, that they are not protected within the bonds, and so the bond company doesn't have to pay out. So we've gone after them personally, individually, sending them letters and serving them, process serving through, the marshals or whoever, because they can serve papers on people, and said, we're contacting you as a man or a woman, and here's the violations, and here's your invoice. We've got over $200 million in invoices, plus $120 million that we intend to collect for the original offense in the federal court under Chief Judge Robert J. Shelby. That and in fact, Sam, I need to tell you, we've got a reward out for it's called a $12 million reward, but in reality, it could be much, much more for those who whistleblow with regards to this case and help us find justice. Before we got hit with the first SWAT, the 13-man U.S. Marshal SWAT, I flew out to Washington, D.C., and with a couple of other people who had been abused by the IRS, we went to the National Press Club, and we hired out a room, and we sent out a notification to 300 main press corps to come and listen about the violations of law by the IRS. Guess how many people came?
Zero.
Not one. So I ran downstairs and rented a camera, and we decided to have the press conference anyway. And in that press conference, we offered a $12 million reward to the group of people that they can share this reward based on our 10% of our $120 million lawsuit. That was way back when, right? But it actually could be much, much more. It could be hundreds of millions. And so whoever helps us with that.
A couple things before the end of the hour. Number one, we need whistleblowers. Because otherwise, they basically blackball all this information. They create gag orders on people. They suggest things are classified and this and that and the other. It's very hard for Ken to get the pay dirt that he needs because they stop him at every turn. The same thing happened to Ammon Bundy and crew until whistleblowers blew it wide open. This just proves that, you know what, you say Ammon's wrong because he doesn't have the evidence. Well, you know what, it took whistleblowers for them to actually get what they knew existed. Okay, the same thing's true in Ken Cromar's case. So we need whistleblowers. Please, if you know something, help us on this. The last thing I want to say about this before the end of the hour is this. People say, Sam, why do you cover this? The mainstream press isn't giving Ken a chance to talk. You're only hearing one side of the story. That's your government side. Is that all you want to hear, ladies and gentlemen? If you want to hear more, then fund Liberty Roundtable. We're not begging for money, but we do need your support. LibertyRoundtable.com. Ken's website. Ken?
Miracles in God We Trust. Miracles in God We Trust, all one word, .com. And then there's Barbie and Ken versus Goliath IRS there, and we have a video about that $12 million reward and lots of other videos, including a 75-man SWAT.
We'll keep an eye on this as it unfolds, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious business. We, the people, need to stand together. Ladies and gentlemen, we declare this nation shall endure. It's just how tough it's going to become, how tough it'll be before Christ comes. God save the Republic of the United States of America.